Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Kropp.
And welcome, everybody. Great to have you with us today. It is 6 past 6 in the morning or the evening, if you're listening to the evening replay, Politics with your Coffee. The reason that we do that is because we talk about the things that are important in your life that impact you and the people you love and the people you care about in this great nation. We do it all with an eye towards helping you have ammunition. You like that Second Amendment thing? Ammunition, friends, so that you can persuade the persuadable. That and a lot of prayers, the only way we're changing Oregon, frankly. That's the only way we're changing this nation. We have an interview today with Scott Rotor. I've had him on before. He's an old activist friend of mine who wrote a very interesting piece about the Ukraine and Obama and Biden. Since that happens to be in the news these days, he wrote that back in 2014. How fascinating that what he wrote in 2014 seems to be exactly what's happening today. I'm going to talk with Scott Rotor about that. So, does government, even though you have public records laws in Oregon and across the nation, we have FOIA on the federal side. In Oregon, it's called a public records request. Same thing. The issue of transparency is, you know, government, this is a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, right? I mean, that's what a constitutional republic is. Well, in this case, as we've seen with Kate Brown, there are ways around that. When you want to hide things, when you want to be less than transparent, as you know, Kate's been hit hard for that by a lot of people, including all the major newspapers of the state. We talked about that yesterday. 3 editorials yesterday about this. Well, what do you do if one of the ways that government says, okay, says to us, the people, says, okay, so you want to request all kinds of documentation, say, from us on a particular issue. You know what? Well, the law says we have to give it to you, but we're going to charge you a lot of money for it. Now, I have some personal experience with this. But does that act as a disincentive? Because the average person can't pay for it, folks. For what the governor's office in Oregon has charged me for fees previously, the average person couldn't have paid for that. There's no way. There's an interesting article about all of this today in the Oregonian. And it's called, the headline is, Lawmakers Must Ban High Fees to make Oregon public records truly public, records expert says. Now, this is about Ginger McCall. You know, she's the public records advocate created by the legislature. This is the gal at the center who's had to resign because of the, as Betsy Hammond, the Oregon reporter, calls it, because of the meddling. It was more than meddling, folks. By Kate Brown's office. It was Kate demanding at her lawyers, acting on her behalf, apparently, acting on her behalf, demanding that, well, really the fox has got to guard the hen house here. You know how that works out. Demanding that the governor's office gets approval at whatever comes out of the public records advocate when that is clearly contrary to what the legislation was in 2017 that created this person and the council that governs it. What do you want to bet the governor changes that council? Because the council has come out and has not only backed Ginger McCall, but said this office needs to be truly independent. Now, can you imagine on the federal level? Now, we have a number of federal agencies that take the GAO, the Government Accounting Office. They're truly independent. They're independent of the president. Okay. They are independent of, really, this whole business of political pressure. Now, we see that also with these inspectors generals And sometimes they're truly independent and sometimes they're not. It just depends on their political philosophies. But there are professional people in these offices that are professional staffers, and they take their job very seriously. That's on the federal level. Here in Oregon, we have those professionals also. They're in the Department of Justice. There are many of these agencies. These are career individuals who survive irrespective of whoever the governor is or whoever is the president of the United States. They are there. They take their jobs very seriously. And thank God we have them, because they do a great job for us as public servants. And they actually will sometimes be these whistleblowers, people like Ryan Cram that we've had on the show before here in Oregon. But also, we're hearing a lot about whistleblowers these days, right? Well, because of great public employees, we know certain things. And they take their job very seriously. And when it comes to this issue of being transparent, they take that seriously. It's part of their job. But it's also part of being a transparent government that is transparent regarding what the law says we should be transparent about, because it, again, is a government by the people, for the people, and of the people. That's who we are. And transparency and accountability in that through the electoral process, but also through the governmental process, is paramount. It is paramount to retaining our liberties. We talk a lot about that, don't we? And if you want to retain that liberty, there has to be the light of sunshine. That's why these transparency laws are called sunshine laws, folks. Because when you can't hide things that have light on them, can you? Right? I mean, that's just basic understandings of the laws of physics. So if you have transparency, you will have sunshine on them. That means that we, the people, can call and ask for or write or go through whatever processes are appropriate, and there are some that are, to us being able to find out what's going on inside our government. That's why we have auditors. That's why we have Secretary of State's office here that does audits that make Kate Brown look bad because of her incompetency. And that's why she installed Bev Clarnell. And that's why a lot of people resigned, is because they don't want accountability. That's why Kate Brown that's why Ginger McCall had to resign, is because of Kate Brown's so-called meddling. One of the things they do, some bureaucrats, and likely at the request of the governor's office, or the general direction, shall we say, of the governor's office, the backroom conversations, the backdoor conversations that people like Misha Isaac and Emily Matisar, the governor's lawyers at the heart of this whole scandal, and it is a scandal, folks. They have those backdoor conversations with those bureaucrats and those agencies, and they say, you know, yeah, the law says this, and yeah, we've been dinged on it, but guess what? Let's charge high fees so the average person can't look into it. And then it's only the people who can. And then of the people who can, like journalists, like, say, people at the Oregonian, let's make them so high and let's not create exemptions. Because you see, in other places, there are, in fact, in federal agencies, many public bodies, the story says, including state agencies, charge requesters as high as $180 an hour to have lawyers review records before providing them to requesters. All right. So now $180 an hour for a lawyer is pretty cheap these days, isn't it? Right? But that's typically what the Oregon Department of Justice, I believe, that's their current charges towards other agencies in terms of the cost of doing these things. So it becomes a barrier. According to this story, Ginger McCall said that the practice of providing or charging rather these high fees creates a barrier to transparency and a relative outlier among state and federal public records laws. She thinks and recommended it should be outlawed. On the federal side, there are agencies that don't charge anything. It costs them a lot of money. So here's the question that could be a persuasive talking point for you with other people. What is the cost of transparency? What is the cost of maintaining our liberty when it comes to government accountability? Should we pay anything for it? Should we have it built into budgets? Because it is, folks. Auditing individuals within the governor's office, which is, as you know, we've talked about the last couple of days, has been using this flimsy excuse, using a law meant for small government bodies here in Oregon, small cities, school districts, like my little fire department at Sublimity Fire Department, you know, a law that's meant to create time for us to not get around the public records request, because they should all be under the same law. We should all be subject to it because it's a principle of transparency and liberty. But the governor using this law, when she has built into her budget lots of people to help her respond appropriately to these public records requests. It's built into the budgets. It's built into the budget of federal government agencies. It's built into the budgets at the Department of Administrative Services here. In fact, they have somebody who I have dealt with very respectfully, has done a great job for me, who has, this is their job. But it costs money. And that's fair to a point. At what point do we, the people, say you are charging too much and you're creating a barrier unnecessarily that doesn't allow transparency to happen? At what point do we say, no, that's wrong? And then how do we hold people accountable for that? What is the cost of transparency in government? Does it cost actual dollars? Should we pay for it? Is that part of remaining free as a nation? Of not allowing giant bureaucracies to use excuses like Governor Brown has done, or on the federal side? Do you have to be an outside group with lots of money, like a newspaper or an organization like mine? I won't say we have lots of money, but maybe your Judicial Watch, which constantly has to sue these agencies in court, and they constantly get public records requested to them, that they've requested, released to them. And we find out all kinds of things that we'd never find out. And if it hadn't have been for a whistleblower, we would have never found about John Kitzhaber's corruption, and he would have been governor. What about Kate Brown? Is there a cost? Think about it. Is there a cost of maintaining our liberty through transparency? No promises. Morning, let's get back to home. Love is a battle.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
22 minutes past the top of the hour. 503-589-1220 is a Power Buick GMC talk line if you want to comment on this. Now, the reason we're talking about this is not just because of the Kate Brown thing, but it's because this is such an egregious thing. And it isn't just our liberty that's at stake here. It's more than that. It's a moral thing. And it's more than just an ethical thing. It is a true moral issue. Because, as this story talks about Ginger McCall, government immorally, bureaucrats immorally, deny public records requests to the families of victims, crime victims, in some cases, victims of incompetence or cover-ups within the state of Oregon. That, friends, is immoral. And that is something we cannot, we must not tolerate. We fight, friends. Liberty is a precious thing. I go back to that famous response by Dr. Benjamin Franklin at the end of the Constitutional Convention when the lady asked her, what do we have, Dr. Franklin? Do we have a monarchy or a republic? He said, a republic. A republic, if you can keep it. Interesting. How do we keep it? Well, we constantly demand accountability of our elected leaders, number one, and of our government. And sunshine laws, transparency laws that allow the average person to be able to make a public records request is crucial to that. More on that in a moment. I want to remind you that the opportunity for you to stand your ground for liberty, for all these things that are important, is this Saturday. It's coming up in a couple of days. It's at the AIM. This is the Gathering of the Eagles, now joined with the Oregon Liberty Coalition's Rally Around the Flag event for one event. It's called Stand Your Ground. We're going to be memorializing and remembering the late Ames Curtwright, who was founder of this event. This event is in its 10th year, okay? But we're also thanking those magnificent 11 Republican senators of the Oregon Senate Republican Caucus who left the state for 9 days, folks. We're going to be thanking them for taking a stand, for standing their ground for the values and their principles. Why don't you join us? It is a free event. It's held at the Ames Ranch outside of Jefferson. You need to register for this. Okay? It is from 10 in the morning till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And it's not just a celebration of this. It's not just all of us coming together. Timber Unity, Oregonians for Medical Freedom, which are the parents of all political persuasions that came together to stand for parents' rights against forced vaccinations. The old believers communities, the Russians and the Slavics, who for the first time, these communities have come and decided to become part of the process of standing up for their liberty, which they love. They're going to be there. And Oregonians, or the Oregon Firearms Federation, they're all going to be there to say thank you to these senators. And we'll have a handful of senators there. Not all of them could make it, but it's an opportunity for you to network with them, for us to become stronger and to build on that momentum. It's also an opportunity for you to learn how to become a more effective political activist, to stand up for your principles and your values using social media, how to campaign, how to help somebody win a local election, like for the city council, like for school board, or maybe the state legislature. Because we're going to have training. The first 2 hours of the day are training. FreedomWorks is going to be joining us from Washington, D.C. They're bringing people out to help us with social media. They'll be training us specifically about how you can use tried and true and very effective techniques at helping other people get elected or being a candidate for yourself. Okay? All of that is this Saturday. You need to register for this free event. Go to OregonLibertyCoalition.com, OregonLibertyCoalition, all one word, .com. It's easy. You can see the agenda. You need to register for the event. We'll have a name tag for you. Again, it's free. You can make a donation if you want to help pay for things. We've got a great food truck there to provide lunch. So why don't you go to OregonLibertyCoalition.com. Coalition.com. You can do that. The immorality of what is happening in the state of Oregon is pretty profound. Ginger McCall points out in this story that not only do we need to change the structure of how we're charging for things in Oregon for public records requests, but they need to rewrite the law to mandate low cost access to anybody who requests records related to themselves or a dead family member, especially crime victims and families of dead people whose cases are the subject of government investigation. She's quoted as saying, requiring victims to pay exorbitant fees for those kinds of records is a clear and uncompassionate miscarriage of justice, unquote. She gives two examples of a teenage foster child subjected to physical and sexual abuse who was denied access to her own case filed by the Oregon Department of Human Services, which cited state laws giving privacy to records regarding child abuse. Similarly, she cited an outrageous and cruel decision. Now, this is the reporter being a little bit above beyond how they should describe these things, but nevertheless, an outrageous and cruel the decision by the Oregon Office of Child Care, housed within the Division of Early Learning, to quote the parents of a baby who died in state-licensed daycare, a price of $23,000, to obtain records related to state oversight of that daycare and details of their child's death. She concluded the final report of her tenure with a recommendation that in order to ensure the public records law actually provides meaningful access to all members of the public, fee reform is particularly important. It is. And when government uses it to deny, it's immoral. It should be unconstitutional. Back in a moment at 6:30 with Scott Rotor about the Ukraine thing that he wrote about 5 years ago. That's happening today. It's amazing. As they march through town to the riverside, they baptize believers in this celebration of the... Stop the car. We gotta move.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
24 minutes to the top of the hour. Great to have you back for a little politics with your coffee, friends, because it's important that you have the ammunition to be able to persuade the persuadables. This whole business about the Ukraine and the president and impeachment is an absurdity beyond description. And in a moment, we're going to chat with my friend Scott Rotor, who wrote about the Ukraine and Biden and Obama 5 years ago. And it's relevant to today. But imagine that. Also imagine not having enough life insurance for your family if something happens to you. That's not a very pleasant thing to think about. Look, nobody wants to think about death, especially untimely death, but it's a reality. It happens. It happens every day in this country. Would your family have enough money to be able to maybe stay in their house, to provide college opportunities for your kids, just to have any meaningful life moving forward if you weren't there and your paycheck wasn't there? Well, my friend Fred Thompson, who's a powerful patriot, fought for this country in combat in Vietnam, is an honorable man, shares your principles and your values. He's a New York Life agent. He can help you answer that question. And by the way, it's never too late. Never too late to have enough life insurance. If you're just not sure you have enough for your family, why don't you call him? 503-428-7479. 503-428-7479. Well, I want to welcome back to the show my friend Scott Rotor. He's a political activist. He's an author. He's a thinker. He's a passionate, grassroots kind of guy, former Oregon Senate candidate. Scott, good morning. How are you?
Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Fantastic. Folks, Scott's website, by the way, is lessgovisthebestgov.com. Lessgovisthebestgov.com. Com. Wow, Scott, you wrote something 5 years ago that's absolutely right on the money for today with this Ukraine, Trump, impeachment, Biden business. Why don't you describe the outline of your article and where people can find it, by the way?
Well, they can find it on the website, blog. There's a blog to the website called lessgovisthebest.gov/blog. 5 years ago, before anybody knew Donald Trump was going to run for president or anything about what it has gone on there, I just thought it was very curious that the vice president at the time, Joe Biden, was always over in Ukraine. Not only was he over there, but John McCain was over there and other people were over there, Victoria Nuland. And I just thought it was peculiar. It was very curious. 6 years later, almost, it's all coming out now what was going on there. And what was going on there was our government pushing a revolution in that country, and it was deemed necessary to promote this turmoil. And in order to promote American oil companies' attempts to sell our surplus oil and natural gas to Europe. At the time, the major pipeline to supply Europe with its natural gas ran right through Ukraine. That was Russia's Gazprom pipeline. And we had just undergone a fracking revolution, and we had abundant surpluses of oil and natural gas that would have ultimately caused the price of oil and gas to substantially come down if other markets for our surpluses weren't found. We were busy fomenting providing the political fuel for a revolution in Ukraine in order to sell our fossil fuel to Europe. And in the process, enriching the pockets of key players in the Obama administration, i.e. Joe Biden's and his son Hunter, and John Kerry and his stepson, and Nancy Pelosi, his own son, Paul.
Okay, so what you're saying is that this is all about energy, and this has been going on a very long time in terms of not just Trump, but years ago with Obama, Biden, which we're talking all about all these renewable resources at home, but yet very quietly, very corruptly, as we're finding out about Joe Biden, he's in Ukraine and he's there constantly trying to advance the cause of not Russia selling natural gas and oil to Europe, as they do, but rather opening the door for America to do that. Why is that bad? Why is it bad, though, Scott, for America to sell its resources to the Eastern or to Europe as opposed to Russia?
Well, of course, it's not bad. But to foment a political revolution in a foreign country in order to do that, that is bad.
Yeah,
now,
I agree.
It's not bad for us to try to compete fairly with the Russians. I'm an American, so I'd like to see us compete. However, when you foment a revolution in order to achieve your goal, a political revolution in order to achieve your goal, that's not fair. Now, meanwhile, while we were doing this, the Russians aren't stupid. So they saw what was happening with Ukraine, that it was being meddled in, shall we say. And they were busy working out contractual and financial agreements with Germany to build a new pipeline, which bypassed Ukraine completely, which was being laid under the Baltic Sea and is scheduled for completion, probably already has been completed, in late 20 and the fall of 2019, Germany is their partner in building this Nord Stream 2 pipeline because Russia saw what we were trying to do, make inroads or advances into their supply network. And that's totally fair. They didn't foment the revolution in Ukraine. What they did was respond to our meddling. But all this has to do with the sale of oil and gas.
And fair enough. All right. So, folks, we're talking with Scott Rotor in a article he wrote on his blog. The blog is lessgovisthebestgov.com. Lessgovisthebestgov.com. And it's called Lies, More Lives, and Continued Political Double Talk About Ukraine. So fair enough, Scott. I mean, this is this your point in writing this is that Biden and Obama had a program, which we're learning more about today, of providing, well, this political revolution. And you wrote about this in 2014, of providing the means for that to happen. And that Russia was just responding to that. And it was all about selling oil and gas. You're not against selling American oil and gas to Europe. What you're saying is that it is wrong to foment political revolution as much as it is for the Russians.
In order to achieve commercial gains.
Right, certainly. In order to achieve commercial.
And Germany, obviously, by their partnership with Russia, I mean, they're the major financer of Nord Stream 2. Germany, obviously, had already made up its mind who they were going to buy gas from. I mean, look, Russia is, virtually next door to Germany if you don't consider the Baltic countries of Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia, Russia's pretty much right next door. I mean, Kaliningrad is virtually next door. Poland is there too. But our gas has to come by boat, by tanker, from America to Germany. There's just no sense in that. And that's the way the Germans felt. And so they had already made up their mind who was going to continue to supply them. And Russia saw that Ukraine was becoming problematic to their network, as it was the government in Kiev was being supported and funded by America and was going to do our bidding. So they were busy building their own new pipeline. What the problem is that while all this was happening, certain key American players were enriching themselves at the expense of Russian-American relations, which is important in the world. It is important that our two countries get along.
But Scott, it's deeper than that. It's this corruption that we're learning about with Joe Biden and his son.
Absolutely.
It's all about buying things off. Yeah, oil and gas is the basis of this, but we're finding out that it is deeper than that. It's absolute corruption on the part of American politicians who've so far gotten away with it. So let me ask you this, because we got like a minute left, Scott. How do you think this plays out with Donald Trump?
Well, you know, Jeff, the media is so corrupt in our country. It's largely controlled by a few selected New York liberals who are all Democrats. And they're manipulating public opinion I heard today, or it was yesterday now, they were pushing a phony poll. They didn't even name the source of the poll. But the poll indicates that 51% of Americans favor the impeachment and conviction, mind you, of Donald Trump. I don't know how we get the truth out here, but to go on programs like yours and push the truth about the corruption. Why shouldn't Joe Biden be investigated? They're investigating Donald Trump for nothing. And if that doesn't interfere with an election, I don't know what does. Why should Joe Biden be exempt from an investigation because he's running for president?
Scott, excellent way to end our interview. That is the real crux of it all. Why not? Liberty, transparency. Scott Rotor, lessgovisthebestgov.com. Back in a moment.
Stop the car. We gotta move.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Hi, this is Jeff Krupp. If you leave me a message, I'll call you back. And remember, only you can make it a great day.
At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
You're on, Jeff.
All right, friends, we are back. Sorry about that interruption for some reason. You know, technology works and then sometimes it doesn't. It's just how it is some days. So the reason I brought Scott on in that interview was we talk about this business of, well, corruption in the Obama-Biden administration has been going on a long time. And yeah, at the heart of it is the sale of oil and gas. Now, Scott and I don't agree sometimes on Russia and Ukraine and how things are playing out there. But I have to tell you, I thought it was fascinating that the fact that Biden spent so much time over there caught just an activist. Yeah, he watches things, but he caught his eye, so much so that he writes something about this business. He saw it. Now, his main point is, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. If you're going to investigate Trump on all of this stuff, and you bring up these crazy ideas of impeachment based on a phone call, and as we learn more, the Democrats look stupider and stupider about this. Like, if you're going to do that, you need to investigate Joe Biden, who's on tape bragging about his part of this corruption. But even more importantly, it runs deeper than that. And part of this is what we're going to continue to learn about in the coming days and weeks, about why Joe Biden spent so much time in the Ukraine. Because it's more than just oil and gas. It's more than just fomenting a revolution. Because apparently, the Obama-Biden administration had some kind of special backdoor programs to feed arms and guns into the Ukraine. You know, this is nothing new for the Obama administration. Remember Fast and Furious? Okay? That, you know, literally taking American guns and selling them to the Mexican drug cartels. For what purpose? To have them come to be used in crimes, come back across the border, and demand gun control. That's what it was all about. By the way, is anybody ever held accountable for that? No. They weren't. How sad. How dangerous to our liberty to have government engaging in clearly illegal behavior. And that's what it was. Just like Joe Biden engaging in corrupt illegal behavior of through his son getting paid. And John Solomon has done some new reporting that maybe Joe Biden himself was personally paid exorbitant fees. Now, you know, former presidents and vice presidents get paid exorbitant fees all the time. What was it? Bill Clinton earned like $2 million for a speech? Come on. It's ludicrous. It's a form of buying people off. Unfortunately, Joe, that's after they leave office. Apparently what John Solomon is uncovering is that they were doing this while Biden was in.
We're going out.